Tonight's Bible reading comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verse 1 to 21. And in your pew Bibles, it's on starts on page 1761. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace, given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
It would probably be helpful if you keep your Bibles open at that page. So, I don't know if you noticed the word mystery did come up in that passage, and there's a lot of different sort of mysterious stuff going on in the family service this morning. We talked about, you know, the mystery of an ancient motive that's been hidden for a long time, a mysterious inheritance of Israel. But there's this mysterious prisoner, Paul, who you know, he seems really happy about what he's going through. There's even some mention of hidden treasure in there. And so it's actually obviously not that kind of mystery, but thinking about that kind of mystery does help us to get to the core of what's going on in this reading. So, what's going on in this reading? Well, let's have a think about what we've heard for the last few weeks. This is Ephesians chapter 2, not long before Ephesians chapter 3. That's not a big surprise. For through Christ, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Okay, we both. That's Jews and Gentiles. Consequently, you, Gentiles, that's us, are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people, and members of God's household. And God's house is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Okay, so in chapter 2, Paul has been at great pains to tell the Gentile Ephesians that they too have access to God, that both Jews and Gentiles have access to God, to the Father by one Spirit. And you notice also, just as they can come to God, also there's a promise that God is coming to them. that we as the church, we're being built into a dwelling in which God lives. So we come to God, God comes to us. And that's exciting. And so he says, well, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. And then he kind of gets distracted. There's that dash, and then he's away for something like 13 verses. For this reason, and he doesn't come back until verse 14. For this reason, surely you've heard. Oh, where was I? Oh, yes. For this reason, I kneel before the Father. He wants to tell them what he's been praying for them, and we will get to that. But first, he wants to just pick out, well, hang on a minute, why am I the smiling prisoner? What's the mystery that's going on in here? Well, Paul says, I am the prisoner of Christ Jesus, which is odd because Jesus doesn't have prisons, for the sake of you Gentiles. And he says what that means is that he's been given the administration of God's grace. And then he describes God's grace as a mystery made known to him, not because he could work it out, but because it was made known to him by revelation. And he says, this is for the sake of you Gentiles. It's for your sake that I'm a prisoner. You've heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you, verse 2. Down in verse 13, where he finishes up, he says, I ask you therefore not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, because they're for your glory. He's concerned that as he's in prison, they might feel down about that. They might be tempted to think that maybe the plan isn't coming the way that it should. He's preaching about this wonderful, exalted Christ figure who's the king of the world. How come his servant is now stuck in jail? And Paul's going, no, it's not like that. I am chained to the message. I'm chained to the gospel. He's like those guys who chain themselves to a tree to save the tree, or to a bulldozer to stop the bulldozer being used. He's saying, no, I'm the prisoner of Christ for the sake of you Gentiles. I'm in chains for a good reason. And so actually it's for your glory. And Paul says this is because of grace that was given him. That grace has been given to him to make plain to everyone, this is verse 9, the administration of this mystery. Now, I think all those kind of strange mysteries in the passage, they point to the nature of a mystery. Now, this is Hercule Poirot in the 1974 version of Murder on the Orient Express. This is one of my favourite bits of any Agatha Christie movie, the parlour scene, where Hercule Poirot or Miss Marple or whoever it is carefully dissects everyone's motives and what's been really going on behind the scenes, and what's really happening, the mystery, gets revealed. And then, Hercule Poirot says, it was you, Joash. You did it all along. And he describes the diabolical plan that Joash has had going on right from the start of the book. He reveals, he makes plain the mystery. And Paul says that's what he does. That there's this big mystery. And, from our point of view, it's a big mystery like, who is Luke Skywalker's father? Or is Hans in Frozen a good guy or a bad guy? I don't want to give away any spoilers, but it's that kind of mystery. It's a mystery we know the answer to. But Paul's trying to say, look, it's an astonishing reveal. You wouldn't just work this out on your own. He says the mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel. They're going to inherit what Israel has. What does Israel have? Well, Israel have the promise that the whole world is going to be blessed through Abraham's family. They're going to be members together of one body. They can join in with the Israelites. And they're going to be sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. Now, the Christ, that he's a Jewish king. But the Gentiles, us, we get to share in that promise. And Paul says that's the great mystery, that God would have chosen a particular man, Abraham, and he would have grown him into a nation and then given that nation a king who was going to save them, but that actually he's not just the savior of them, he's the savior of the whole world. And that no longer is it about being a member of this one nation, but that you can be from anywhere and you can be saved in Christ and through faith in him. He says that's the mystery. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Now, that's kind of familiar. 3:12, in him, through faith in him, we may approach God. 2:18, for through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. And Paul says, for this reason, I kneel before the Father. This is amazing grace. This is an astonishing reveal. this is something that you wouldn't know because you can't know, and yet it's been revealed. Because who would have guessed this? I described that usually in a murder mystery, it's a diabolical plan because it's someone trying to kill somebody. But this is not a diabolical plan. It's something more like an angelic plan on God's part. But in fact, if you have a look at verse 10, God's intent, God's motive for keeping this plan hidden was that now, through the church, that's us, the manifold wisdom of God, the not actually diabolical plan of God, should be made known not just to people, but to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. That angels wouldn't actually work this out and guess this. That demons who are desperately trying to find out how they can try and subvert God's plans, they wouldn't guess that this is God's plan. That God's plan is to extend grace to the whole world. It's a mystery. It's a sudden revelation. It's something that you would not guess by yourself. You would not work out. And so Paul says, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Now, I think there's something in that phrase, the whole family, because he's been talking about how Gentiles get included in with Jews, how the family of the Jews, the family of Abraham, the family of Jesus, actually now can include Gentiles as well. And so now he's talking about the whole family. And he's talking about the Father of all. Because we've all come to the same Father, we've all got access by the same Spirit, in the same Son, through faith in the same Jesus, well, the whole family in heaven and earth gets its name from God. Whatever your identity may have been, wherever you were from, whatever you do for a living, whoever your family is, whoever your father is, now you are a son of God or a daughter of God. For this reason, I kneel before your Father, says Paul. Now, if this is Paul's prayer and he's kneeling before our Father, this is a prayer that we can be praying too. So what does he pray? Well, he prays three things, and they're all power prayers. So the first thing he prays is, I pray that out of his glorious riches, God may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Okay, I asked one of my daughters this morning how long we've lived in our house, and she said 2.5 years, which sounds legit. And then I said to her, Lara, can we walk through our box room from one door to the other door? And she went, I don't think I can. And I told her that that was correct. We've been living in our house for 2 years, more than 2 years, and yet we still have a room that we're not quite probably moved into. It's got a lot of boxes, it's got a lot of stuff, it's got a lot of mess, and you can't actually get from one door to the other. So we haven't quite finished the process of dwelling in our house. Can you see where I'm going with this? You may have let Jesus Christ into your heart. I hope that you have. But we want power so that Christ can dwell in our hearts, so that he can go into that room that you don't want him to go into. And he can go, yeah, actually, this is where I need to sit at this time of day, and this is where I need to do this work, and what does the kitchen look like? I'm suggesting we knock out that wall and we extend the pantry. And we want actually Jesus to come and dwell and to start doing some remodeling and acting like he owns the place, not just sit in a corner like a good guest and maybe just comment on one or two aspects of our life, but actually come into all the different bits of our life. Have we surrendered our sexuality to Jesus? Have we surrendered our job? Have we surrendered our money? Is there some addictive behavior that we're engaged in that we haven't, that kind of happens in the cupboard, and we haven't let Jesus into that cupboard just yet? It's like a holiday house with that one locked cupboard. Paul prays that out of God's glorious riches, he might strengthen us with power through his Spirit in our inner being so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. It's not about physical power, power in our inner being, power for us to let go so that Jesus can dwell in our hearts. Second prayer, still a power prayer. See, those words may have power. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Power to grasp. Power to kind of, sometimes you move things and you sort of, they're very heavy. They're very small and very, very heavy. Sometimes you move things and they're very, very wide and really light, but just enormous and you can't see where you're going. Sometimes things are both of those. They're heavy and they're enormous, and that's when you need friends. And you need power. You need to be able to sort of wrap your arms around things. You need to be able to lift them. And Paul is praying that we would have power, that all the saints, that's all of God's holy people, would have power to grasp just how enormous the love of Christ is, how wide it is, that it's not just for Rebecca, but it's for Rebecca and for Zoe and for Abigail and for Joash and for the guy who lives across the road and for the guys in Peakhurst, even for people who live in Lagana. It's wide. It is long. His love endures forever. It's high. He's calling us to a heavenly existence, to the way that we should always have been, but that we are not. And it's deep. No matter how low you go, you cannot go so low that Jesus does not love you. Paul prays that being rooted and established in love, we would get that. We would hang on to that. Sometimes when that's the only thing that we've got to hang on to. And you notice it's not just knowing about how big Jesus' love is. It's not like, did you know that the distance to the nearest inhabitable planet is 6.12 light years? It's to know this love. It's a love that surpasses knowledge. You can't really know all about this love, and yet we can experience this love. We can know this love. We can know that we are loved. We can know Jesus, and we can know that he loves us. And what's the aim of this? Well, it's so that we may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And I'll come back to that. Third power prayer. Now to him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that's at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. That immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine always reminds me of the bit in Star Wars when Luke Skywalker tells Han Solo, she's rich. You'll be richly rewarded if you save this woman. And he goes, well, how much? He says, more than you can imagine. And Han says, I don't know, I can imagine quite a bit. God is able to do more than we ask. In fact, more than we can imagine, God is able to do. Paul prays to someone who can do that. I don't quite know how he could wrap his head around praying to a God like that. We like to pray to kind of, all right, God, this is what I want. This is my kind of nice limited thing. Could you do that? We don't usually say, God, could you do something just mind-blowing that I can't quite imagine to fix this situation? Because what I would like is if you just did that, but actually, you're the God who could do more than I imagine. Certainly more than I'm asking. And Paul prays that according to his power that's at work within us, there'd be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Which takes us back to verse 10, that God's plan all along was that his manifold wisdom, his amazing cleverness, I guess, his wisdom and his goodness would be shown through the heavens and the earth, that angels and demons alike would look and go, my goodness, the church, it's amazing, it's astonishing. What is God doing there? In a good way, Dennis. Sometimes we all look at the church and go, what is God doing? But no, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Well, what do we do with that? Paul's first prayer is power to make a home for Jesus. So I think I want to say, make a home for Jesus. Ask for the Spirit's power that Jesus would dwell in your heart by faith. His second prayer is power to get how much Jesus loves us. And the interesting thing about that prayer, now I need to go back and find it again, is that last line, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. I think getting how much Christ loves us enlarges us in some way. It actually makes us better able to grasp how much he loves us. The more we get it, the more we can get it. And the more we get it, the more that we can be filled with the fullness of God. Now, I think the measure of all the fullness of God is kind of infinite. It's just enormous. And so this is not necessarily something that's going to finish anytime soon. But if you imagine a bucket full of water and a balloon, if I was to take that little balloon and try and scoop water out of the bucket, would I get very far? The balloon wouldn't hold very much, would it? But if somehow I could get the water from the bucket and squirt it into the balloon so that the balloon slowly stretched and filled, I reckon I could get most of the bucket of water into that balloon. I think Paul thinks that as we can sort of grasp more and more the love of Christ, it will actually enlarge us, and more we will be able to make a home for him. More and more we'll be able to be full. And more all of us together will be that dwelling place for God that he's been talking about for a chapter and a half now. More and more, all of us will give glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to the one who's able to do far more than we imagine. So the third thing is that as you go about your life, as you rest on God's power, remember that it's not power so that you can get all the glory. It's power so that the glory goes to God. All glory be to him. Amen.
When I was, now I sound like Steve, you'll appreciate this. When I was a younger Christian, there's always a new